We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
I've been waiting for this all day. Got some good stuff tonight.
All right. Here we go. Keeping the expectations high. So we've spent a lot of time, of course, the last couple of weeks, talking about freshman Irish quarterback C.J. Carr. This is Notre Dame quarterbacks coach Gino Gadduli sharing some thoughts on Carr's competitiveness.
Well, I got out on the basketball court with him, and I really saw it then. Like, he was guarding me, and I was like, all right, he'll just kind of sag off and play off. But, like, he tried to body me up, and I was like, I kind of liked it. Like, all right. Because I didn't know what to kind of expect of him out there, but he's definitely competitive. He comes from a household, which is him and his brother, and those two, I'm sure, went at it. And, That was the moment for me where I was like, all right, yeah, this dude's competitive. See, he's going at me.
Did you get some buckets on him at least?
You have to ask him. I don't remember.
All right, so that's Gino Gadduli. Vince, scale of 1 to 10, how important do you think that intangible is?
74. It's incredibly important. If you want to be a high-level quarterback, you better think that you are a high level quarterback and that you're competitive and that, you know, you bring the swagger and all of that. Like, I don't want a meek quarterback running my team. I don't want that as a coach. I don't want that as a fan. I don't want that at all. I want a guy who knows that he's the best dang player on the field and he's going to show it to you every single time. So I love it.
I think especially in sports, like, yeah, I mean, in other facets of life as well, that competitive streak is probably the most important intangible that there is. Like you hate to lose at anything. And, yes, you know, like he's talking about, they're out there playing basketball and he's playing basketball with his position coach, but he's not giving him an inch, you know, he's coming at him, whatever it is, you know. And like people used to ask me why Muffet McGraw was such a great head coach. And it started with her competitiveness. Like you would see it. It didn't matter what she did, you know, like if it was the crossword puzzle or, you know, whatever it happened to be, I think it just starts and finishes with the competitiveness. And, you know, like look at a guy like Tom Brady. You think he's not one of the most competitive people in the world? Look at a guy like Michael Jordan, watching, we talked about, you know, the Last Dance last week, you know, guys like that who manufacture things in their head, to find a reason to come at you. So, you know, again, I think it's the most important intangible that there is that competitive streak.
Love it.
Someone did a mock-up of an all-black Notre Dame uniform with gold numbers. They shared it on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Somebody shared it on the Champions Lounge the other day.
Oh, did they?
As well. Do you buy or sell Notre Dame using a black alternate uniform color scheme?
I am one of the most traditional people out there. I'm the get off my lawn guy. I'm the, you know, history matters guy. Like, that's me. But I like a good black uniform, man. I got to say, and the mock-up that they did was actually pretty sweet looking, to be honest with you. I dug it. I thought it was really cool. I thought the gold helmet really stuck out, you know, from it because of the black. But then the accents I thought were good. It was a win, man. It was a win for me. I liked it. I liked it. I buy it.
I probably, considering they did those Yankee abomination pinstripe uniforms when they played at Yankee Stadium, like, considering they've already done that, I could see, like, this black scheme for a Shamrock Series game.
Sure.
That's it, though.
Sure.
Like, that would be what, like, it was probably in the 90s, wasn't it, when, like, the, you know, like, everyone decided they needed a black alternate uniform, and everyone, you know, tried to adopt black into their uniforms, right, and all that different kind of stuff, you know, because it made you tough and whatever else. So, in general, like, did it look horrible? No. But at the same time, I wasn't a big fan of, like, thinking about Notre Dame wearing a black, you know, like an all black monochromatic uniform. So in general, I'm selling. If they decided they wanted to do it for a Shamrock Series game, okay. One-off situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying that should be like their new home look, but I do think.
No, and cool, I wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool.
I don't think
one time a year. Yeah. It's a cool one time a year thing. I'd be okay with it. And Anthony's saying black and gold are Steelers colors. It's a different kind of gold, man. Like, completely different kind of.
Well, and didn't they use a green? Gold. Like, it was like a gold.
It was green. But yeah, it was
like
green.
A green trim or something like that. Yes, it was completely different looking than any, you know, like Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wade.
Like, because especially because you have, like, you know, like the shiny gold helmet still and all that.
Right. You got no Steelers vibes from the particular mock-up that they did that I saw on Twitter. And obviously that's on the board as well. No Steelers. That's the last thing I would have thought of.
Yeah, me too. Like, yeah, that did, it did not remind me of the Steelers at all.
Yeah. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill in the blank, Notre Dame women's basketball player KK Bransford pulling her name out of the transfer portal and staying at Notre Dame is blank.
Great decision. I don't know if she put her name out there, maybe didn't get the teams that she wanted, or maybe Niel recruited her back. I don't know what the situation of the backstory is, but it just makes Notre Dame's roster that much stronger, and you don't have to go to the portal for somebody to replace her because she already knows the Notre Dame culture. And she's a good player. I assume a good person. I don't know the answer to that. But if you are, it's, I don't want this to sound negative because it's not intended to be that way, but better the devil you know than the devil you don't. You know what I mean? And I don't mean she's a devil, but it's like Notre Dame knows who she is. The roster knows who she is. Keep her around, man. Like, I like it as opposed to bringing in a transfer for her spot.
For sure. And, for what you started off, just from a pure pragmatic number standpoint, it's one less spot that they need to go out and fill in the transfer portal. All the things that you said, you know, she's a player that they know, a player that they trust, you know, like really a glue type player, you know, who can do a lot of different things. She's done a ton of different things for them the last couple of years. Like you go back to the Tennessee game when they were on the road, she came through clutch against Tennessee in that game. And that was a game when Sonia Citron was out by that point already, but they picked up a road win largely because of, you know, what she was able to give them in that game, you know. And, you know, like you said, good, you know, great teammate, good defender, all those different things. So I just think that it makes a lot of sense. And I think that it's, you know, it's great that it ended up working out the way that it did, because not everyone is willing to pull, you know, their names back out once they go in. And with her, you know, it's 7 players, 8 with Kylie Watson, 9 when you add Kate Koval, the incoming freshman next year. And, you know, I know that they've been hosting some transfer portal players of their own, so they're getting closer. And then, you know, like, I don't know if you saw some of the video that they posted on social media the other day for all the, are Olivia Miles and Hannah Hidalgo going to play together people. You know, they've got some video of Olivia finding Hannah down in the corner. They've got video of Hannah finding Olivia down in the corner. They're working together, you know, 2-person game there. I think it's all pretty exciting, you know, and KK Bransford, again, being the kind of glue player that she is, it's just, you know, like that, you know, one more really kind of essential piece that could get overlooked, but I think that she'll be a big part of their success next year.
Absolutely.
Fill in the blank. It's blank that the Heisman Trust has decided to give Reggie Bush his 2005 Heisman Trophy back.
I have been actually a little bit surprised about how positive people have been about this particular situation. Maybe it's because it's USC. Maybe it's because my job is literally to make people follow the rules. But he broke the rules. Yes, the rules have changed now, but they weren't changed back then, and he blatantly broke the rules. Now, was he the best player in college football at the time? Yep, no doubt about it. Absolutely. But they deemed, because he broke rules, that he got the trophy taken away. I'm sorry. I don't think he should have gotten it back. He broke the rules. I don't like the revisionist history of it. Yeah, okay, well, the rules are changed now, so let's go back. Like, are we going to go back and somehow change the death penalty for the team in Dallas? Help me out.
SMU.
SMU. You're going to take that away now that paying players is okay because that's what they were doing? Like, I don't like it. I don't like it. I think he deserved to have it taken, and it deserved to be away.
You were a little more down the middle on this than I thought that you're, you know, like I thought you were, you know, just going to come out, you know, full petty Vince, you know, and just, you know, him. I don't think that it ever should have been taken away from him to begin with, because it's the Heisman Trophy for one. They're not affiliated with the NCAA.
In any way.
You know, there's a difference between an NCAA violation and whatever the Heisman Trophy decided this was, you know, like, look at O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson was found guilty in a civil court. Was his Heisman Trophy ever taken away from him? No, because, you know, he got the Heisman Trophy for what he did on the field. And so I don't think that the Heisman should have been taken away from him.
And that's a better argument, actually. That's actually a better argument. You know what I mean? Like, should it have been taken away in the first place?
Right.
They took it away because he broke the rules.
I can see your argument about, because I, you know, I've kind of debated this myself about, it was a rule back then, even if it's not a rule right now. Just like plenty of people have gone to jail for marijuana possession, but marijuana is becoming legal in many more states.
Right.
So, you know, so like you're not gonna, you know, like in certain states, it's not a crime, you know, but sure. There are people who, you know, have gone to, you know, so it is, you know, like, so are you going to, you know, like take, you know, are you going to strike felony charges against all these different people now?
Right.
Because, you know, the marijuana laws changed. So I get that. But I just don't think that it ever should have been taken away from him to begin with, because it's the Heisman, you know, over here. It's the NCAA over here. They're two completely different things. And I don't think the Heisman Trophy Foundation or the Heisman Trophy Trust should have taken it from him to begin with.
That argument I could actually get on board with, to be perfectly honest with you, because I guarantee you, if you look back at all the Heisman Trophy winners, it's not like a choir of angels. You know what I mean? And there's been guys that have done some stuff. We'll just leave it at that. And none of them got theirs taken away. So I can get on board with your argument that it shouldn't have been taken away in the first place. But the reason they took it away is he broke the rules. Those rules were still rules. So I don't think you should get it back. Like, if you're going to take it away, stick to your guns. Like, stick to your guns. Maybe they shouldn't have taken it away in the first place. I could be there. But if you did, you got to stick to your guns.
I concur. To an extent.
I totally get it. I totally get it. Like I said, I could be on board with the fact they never should have taken it in the first place. You know what I mean? But, you know, rules are rules, baby.
So former Notre Dame commit Dylan Edwards is in the transfer portal after 1 year with Coach Prime at Colorado. Would you buy or sell Edwards at Notre Dame?
This is tough for me. He's a good talent. He is a very good talent. The problem is the running back room at Notre Dame is stacked. I don't know that he'd get on the field. That's the problem. And, you know, if we didn't bring in, you know, the kid from Marshall to be the return specialist, maybe put him back there to return kicks or something like that. I could see that being the case. But again, he'd be down the depth chart there too. So I don't really have anything against him specifically. He decommitted to go play for Deion because he knew Deion. Deion used to be his coach. I don't have an issue with that. I don't know exactly what happened and why he's leaving. I don't know the backstory there. But he's a talented kid. I just, for Notre Dame's roster, I wouldn't take him. It has nothing to do with him as his character or anything like that. I don't have any issue with that. I just think from a roster standpoint, Notre Dame doesn't need any running backs. And they don't need any slot receivers either. He's kind of a hybrid. They don't need any of that right now. So I just don't think it's a fit.
I don't either. But I do, you know, like you said, he had the relationship with Deion. But I think that there was some NIL money that helps lure him to Colorado as well. And I'm sure that there's NIL money that is luring him away from Colorado. And I just, like, once these guys, you know, like Dante Moore, you know, all these different guys like that who start changing their decisions even before they get to school, and then they're only at school for a year. And now
not even.
Yeah, that's true. He hasn't even been there for a calendar year. He was there for one season. Yeah. Good point. I wouldn't want to start getting into that, because I just feel like if the price isn't right a year from now, he's just going to bounce to the next place. But you're absolutely right about the talent. I think Notre Dame is in a great place from the talent standpoint as it is. But I think when you add all this other drama on top of it, I just don't think that it's worth the hassle, you know, to even think about bringing someone like that in. Bears have not only the number one pick in the NFL draft, they also, of course, have the number nine pick Thursday night. Should they trade up? Should they trade down? Should they stand pat? And what position should they take with that pick, Vince?
Well, I mean, I would jump all the way up to the number one and say they should have traded down, but they already kind of made their bet on that one, which I'm still not happy about. I'm still holding out hope that something's going to change between now and 25 hours from now, or 25 hours and 15 minutes from now, because they'll use all 15 minutes to decide that what they've already decided. But at nine, it depends on who's available, to be honest with you. Is it somebody that is absolutely going to help your roster? Or if you're the Bears, because you do have more holes than that, it, you know, trade down, get some other picks, fill some of those holes. I'm curious to see, you know, what offensive linemen are available at that point. I'm curious to see what wide receivers are available at that point at nine. And if there's nothing that you are just dead set on, then trade down and go get different, get, you know, multiples. Trade down in the first round, get a different guy, but then you also have like an additional second round pick, and then you can load up a little bit more. I think they should have traded down from the number one personally and stockpiled some picks, but again, they didn't ask me.
No, they didn't. They didn't. I wouldn't trade up because other than Joe Alt, like really,
right.
I don't think that there's anyone, you know, like from the Bears perspective worth trading up to get. And you're obviously going to have to give up some kind of extra picks if you're going to do that, if you're going to trade up. I know that there's a lot of talk about wide receivers, and I have never been, like, especially this high in the draft, I'm not a fan of taking wide receivers, and here's why.
You get that.
I actually wrote something about this a few years ago, and I went back and updated some of the information. So in the last 25 years, there have been nearly 100 wide receivers selected in the first round of the draft. Only 16 of them have gone to the Super Bowl with the team that drafted them. Only 8 of them have won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted them. Nelson Agholor and Hakeem Nicks are two of the guys who have won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted them. Hardly difference makers for the teams that they won the Super Bowls with at the time. You know, now you do have guys like Reggie Wayne, Plaxico Burress, Antonio Holmes, Mike Evans, you know, like, but again, it's still a very small group. And so I just, especially that high, I've just always thought if you're drafting that high, you're not a wide receiver away from being a great competitive team. You need a lot. And you know the Bears need a lot. We all know the Bears need a lot. So wide receiver would not be my choice that high. I think they need to get, you know, to go out and get, you know, perfect world. If somehow Joe Alt were to fall to him at number nine, that would be great. Protect the quarterback. That's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
Protect the quarterback.
Well, and here's the other thing. And I believe somebody put it in there. Decaf. Bears only have 4 picks in the entire draft. And so I looked it up. They got the 2 ones. They got a third and they got a fourth. That's it. That's all they've got.
Really?
You need more picks, dog. Like, you got some roster holes to fill.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that I didn't realize that they didn't have anything after.
I was about to call Decaf's bluff. I was like, there's no way they only have 4 picks. But it is true. I'm on the Bears website, and that's what it says. And so, need more picks, man.
You've already answered Andre's question. He wants to know if you take Caleb Williams or trade down for more picks. Vince would like them to trade down for more picks.
100%. 100%.
That's interesting, though. Like, if they could trade down from number 9, and there are a couple teams, I think, who are going to be interested in trying to get up there potentially.
Yeah. That
number 9 spot, you know, like if you could get like an extra second or even an extra third or something like that for moving down a couple of spots.
I think
that would be really interesting. I was looking at the chat and see if there were questions. It looks like they're just kind of guys, you know, going back and forth on a couple of different things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now, speaking of quarterbacks, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers have the number 5 overall draft pick. Very interesting. I saw this morning. The opening Vegas line on the draft, when the draft opened, opening line in Vegas had the Chargers at 100-1 odds to take a quarterback with that number 5 pick. Yesterday, it was at 15-1. This morning, the odds were down to 6-1 for the Chargers to take a quarterback at number 5. What do you make of all this?
Is J.J. McCarthy in or out of L.A. as far as like where his plane is? You know, like, I mean, that's the only quarterback I see them taking, because he's obsessed with J.J. McCarthy. If they take a quarterback, it'll be him. And if they do, they will have set back their franchise. Like, there's no – I mean, I guess he's not going to be starting because Herbert is there, but that would just be a waste of an –
Well, that's the thing. You've got Justin Herbert. And like, I just think it's got to be a smokescreen. I think they've got to be sending out disinformation, because that's what this last week of the draft is – You know, you start getting, you know, all the disinformation out there to try to throw people off. I would be watching, you know, turn around and do it. But I would be totally shocked if the Chargers took J.J. McCarthy or any other quarterback at number five.
They would be so bad. Such a bad move. Such a bad move.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be a smokescreen. I just can't, you know, I mean, like, think about Jim Harbaugh. Like, that's who Jim Harbaugh is, right? You know, it's like, throw everybody off the scent, all that.
Yes, kind of stuff. 100%. They've got weapons there in L.A. Like, his draft needs to be a good one. It needs to be a nuanced draft. And they could be a contender right away. But if he goes out there and blows it, I kind of hope that's what happens. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Him and his new tattoo.
I'll go ahead and throw this up, because Jimmy got in late, and it is, you know, it did start off as a mailbag show. He says he's a bit concerned with the quarterback room. He says Riley's health scares him. Then you've got 3 unproven quarterbacks. Yes, they have talent, but very limited experience.
I mean, sure, Riley's health can scare you. That's fine. He's had 1 injury his entire career. Apparently that scares everybody. But he was injured for spring ball, so I guess that's what scares people. And yeah, you've got 3 unproven quarterbacks. That's what happens. That's why they're called backups. Like, they're show me a college football team.
I mean, and Joey does have 1 start, sure, right? I mean, he's got a full game under his belt.
But like, show me a college football team that has 3 backups that are all experienced. Like, that does not that's not realistic. It's not realistic on any team. So, I mean, yeah, they've got unproven guys, but guess what? Everybody's unproven until they do it.
But look, it's also why you let Steve Angeli play the entire second half against Tennessee State last year.
Right.
And
right,
he obviously, again, he started the Sun Bowl. He played the entire Sun Bowl. There were people who wanted to make him the starter a few weeks ago based on the fact that he had a nice Sun Bowl.
Sure.
You know, but he got in a handful of other games as well and got to run the offense in those games. That's why you did that last year.
Absolutely.
To get him at least some experience. Now, he might not be everyone's favorite pick right now, but he's at least got some experience. And, you know, the Riley Leonard's health thing is going to be there all season long. Like I've said,
yeah, right.
Every time he gets tackled, you know, and twisted up a little bit funny, I think everyone's going to hold their breath. It is what it is. I think, like, you're right about the experience, but you don't get nobody gets experience until they get experience.
Right. It's the age old question when you're looking for a job.
Yeah.
It's like, they're looking for somebody with experience. Well, how do I get experience if I can't get a job? Like, you'll get experience when you get in. Like, that doesn't bother me. I'm sorry.
Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel were both redshirt freshmen when they won Heisman trophies.
Right.
They didn't play because they didn't have that redshirt rule. You know, like the 4-game redshirt rule even. When they were playing in college, and they both came out and won Heisman trophies in their first year as starting quarterbacks.
I will say there's a couple of comments in here. I'm going to throw a couple up. JU, he says Angeli won the Sun Bowl and he's the worst of the 4. We good. I mean, I can't say I disagree with that particular comment. I'll just let that one sit there and fester. And then Chief Brody says, can Angeli win 10 games? Yes, absolutely. 100%. He can
against this schedule. Angeli could.
Exactly. 100%.
I do think he could.
So yes. I think everything's just fine. That quarterback is the least of anybody's worries, folks. I mean, everybody wants to talk about who the backups are. Everything is just fine.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you had such good quarterback play, basically from 2 through 4 with number one in a red jersey, you know, kind of watching from behind the play the whole game, the blue goal game. The fact that you had such good quarterback play last week, that should actually, you should be more encouraged about the quarterback room.
Right.
Concerned about any lack of experience or anything like that.
100%. 100%. This is the best quarterback room that Notre Dame's had that I can remember. 1 through 4. 1 through 4. This is an amazing quarterback room. Yeah. 1 through 4.
Yeah, Jimmy, we don't know.
You don't know anything, like, though. Let's be honest. We don't know anything.
That's right.
Billy Shrouth has never been a starter.
But there's some things you don't know. You can't obsess and worry about it. Like, if you are, you're just going to drive yourself nuts for the next 3 months.
Right. So. Micah Gilbert has zero experience. Cam Williams has zero experience. Drake Bowen has zero experience. KVA has zero experience. I was listening to a Notre Dame podcast, and they were talking about how everybody's worried about the quarterbacks, and they're playing well. If it's any other position and it's a young kid who's playing well, people get super excited about it.
Yeah.
But at quarterback, they're freaking out. Like
they don't, because of what TD4ND says. Notre right. Dame fans don't know what to do with a great quarterback room. Don't know how to react to it.
Right.
It's 100%. A great quarterback room.
100%. We don't know anything about a lot of the people that are going to play at Notre Dame this season, but everybody's excited about all of them. Be excited about the quarterback room. I'll just say that. Be excited about the entire room.
Mr. Positivity. Mr. Yes. Positivity right there. Vince D'Addario.
Just mic drop this sucker and get out of here for me, because that's about as positive as you're going to get.
Thank you for the super chat. Guy whose handle can you tell what that says?
Rally Q. That's usually what we go with.
Realistically, how big of a jump in improvement and production in the wide receiver group can we expect this season?
Massive. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, and as we have noticed many years along the line, I'm terrible at predicting what stats are going to be. And so I'm not even going to, but what I will say is the wide receiver room is light years better than it was last year, even with all the defections and everybody's, you know, hand-wringing and everything else about the guys that left. They have a better wide receiver room now than they ever had at any point last year, and it's going to be a massive upgrade. The production will be massive in comparison.
Yes to all of that. If you asked Vince to actually put numbers on it, he would tell you that everyone's going to have 80 receptions and 1,000 yards.
It's just going to be all Notre Dame guys at the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
Right.
It's just five Notre Dame guys.
Riley Leonard's going to pass for 8,000 yards this season.
It's going to be Riley and all of his receivers just sitting there figuring out who's going to win the Heisman.
Let me see. I know there was something else in here. Oh, yes. Chief Brody with the important question. Whoa. Cookies or ice cream for dessert tonight? I'm very partial to the ice cream.
Me too. Myself. I'm an ice cream guy, especially at night. I just love a nice scoop of ice cream in the bowl, watch a little TV, and then that's like the nightcap. Like, that's my version of a nightcap, as you can see.
Soup is felt. Salty mentioning the Hard Knocks camera crews appear to be active at Notre Dame. Will there be an Irish Hard Knocks and who'll be profiled? I mean, that's
gonna
the plan,
be on Peacock, isn't it? Isn't that what?
Yeah, it's going to be on Peacock. They're going to, you know, they announced last year sometime that they're going to do that, and there were a lot more, because I even asked like some of the Fighting Irish media guys. I'm like, hey, I've noticed, like, because the way that, you know, we've kind of explain this before, the way they do the post-practice media when they bring out assistants and players is downstairs at the Irish Athletic Center. That's where, like, the stuff that you see online, that's where they have the TV cameras. So they'll do that, and then they'll go upstairs to where, you know, like the non-TV camera people are, and you know, answer more questions for another 10 or 15 minutes or whatever. And then, you know, they'll trade off and stuff like that. Well, Fighting Irish Media had you know, like the boom mics and cameras upstairs, you know, for like where we go, you know, the, you know, the non-TV people, but that, you know, they would have like a camera over here and, you know, kind of getting, you know, extra stuff up there. So they're definitely following them around. And that's kind of what, you know, I was asking what was going on when I was talking to some people, you know, during spring. And a lot of it was basically just kind of putting together some, you know, kind of some base stuff to get them started for that program. You know,
let's go.
It's underway.
Let's
coming
go
this fall. I don't, we'll have to see if we can find out when a debut date is and all that kind of stuff, but it'll be coming. It's going to be, are you anxious to see that? Do you want to like,
I guess you and I have more inside knowledge of what happens on a day-to-day basis at Notre Dame than most people. But I would still watch it because I love Notre Dame as a fan. So I would absolutely still watch it. I don't have HBO, so I never get to watch Hard Knocks. And I love that behind the scene crap. So
yeah,
I'll definitely watch it.
For sure. Brent wants to know over under 3,200 passing yards for Riley Leonard. I'm going well under 3,200.
Yeah, I think so too. I think
because of the rushing yards. Yeah. He's gonna be close. He's gonna be
add them together.
Yeah. He's gonna have at least 700 to 800 rushing yards, maybe even pushing 1,000, you know.
Honestly, I hope, this is my hope. There are plenty of games where the game should be over by the end of the third quarter, middle of the third quarter. Get whoever the number two guy is in. Get Riley out because your season hinges on his health. Just like everybody is saying, get him out. Get him out of the game. He doesn't need to be getting hurt in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, like I see Jimmy saying, if he's healthy, he'll go over. We all thought Sam Hartman is more of a passer than Riley Leonard. And Hartman didn't come close to 3,200 yards. And I just think because of Riley Leonard's running ability, he's got to be 3,200. He might be pushing 3,000, but I think it's, you know, more likely to be in the 2,800-2,900 range. And then anywhere between 700 and 1,000 rushing yards on top of that. That's what I would be banking on.
Cool. I'm not predicting anything because I am always wrong.
You're not allowed to make predictions anymore.
Okay. No, I mean, I still will because you'll make me, but they'll all be ridiculous and people need to just understand that.
Yep. DK says he heard Hard Knocks caught Vince talking smack about kickers.
I got in trouble for talking a little bit too loud in a negative fashion about the kickers in the press box. Now, it wasn't by like a Notre Dame official, but it may or may not have been by our boss. He's like, dude, like, hey, it's right out here in front of us, man. Like, I don't know. Not really saying anything that we're not seeing. But
Josh Lynch says he heard Leah Two King is visiting. You did. You did, huh? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for tonight. You want to do a buy, sell, hold show tomorrow?
Ooh. I have a feeling the boss might be upset about that.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll just follow his the next day with our very own. We're going to do a stock up, stock down show. What do you think about that?
Okay. Okay. Like where people are trending. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I was going through some stuff today. I'll send it to you. See if you want to add anything
okay
to it. All right.
Could be fun. That one could be a lot of fun. All right.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Okay. So that's tomorrow's show with our regular rapid fire. And of course, draft night.
That's right. We got to make sure we're off by 8 so I can watch the Bears take their franchise back a few steps with their number one pick.
Yes. All right. Crank that like button before you leave. We do appreciate it. And of course, subscribe, rate, and review. And we will talk to you later. A lot of great questions today. So thanks for those.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the well-spirited interaction.
It always gets spirited when we talk quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Talk to you later, Ivy Nation Sports Talk. We'll be right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.